We're going to begin this lesson on priesthood. It is one of the five foundations that we have found in our Bible that after God brought them out of Egypt, he gave unto them what I see are the five foundations that the Bible is based on and written around. And I believe it's the five foundations that everybody needs to understand so they can rightly divide the word of truth. And of course, we saw the first foundation was he gave them his laws, his instruction. We saw the second foundation as he gave them a priesthood. We saw that he gave them a tabernacle or temple plan. We saw that he gave unto them the sacrifices. And then, of course, he gave unto them his schedule or his appointment book, the Feast of the Lord. So today, we are leading into studying being a priest of God. And before we get into being a priest of God, we need to understand priesthood. It's my perspective that all Christians are called by Christ to hold and operate in the office of priesthood. And that's not just today in the earth that we're living in, but it is his plan and his will for us to hold the office, to operate in the office of priesthood, even in the world to come. And we see that in the book of Revelations chapter 5, where he tells them that he has made us into our God kings and priests. So as the world goes on after the resurrection of the dead and the catching away of the believer, and he sets up his millennial rule here on the earth for the seventh day, the Shabbat, the thousand years of the Lord, the millennium, we will be reigning and ruling in the office of priesthood, kings and priests. So the purpose of this lesson today is to simply explain the different many positions and the functions that are contained in the office of God's biblical priesthood. We can't go on to being a priest until first we understand what priesthood is. Now, when these numerous duties are unveiled, we're going to find out that every one of us that is a believer has an available position. A lot of times we feel like we're not important other than just saying amen and dropping some money in the plate. I know I experienced that a lot of times. But many of us also, we just battle bewilderment because we're trying to find the will of God in our life. And I know back before I understood what the Bible taught and where I was going, a lot of times people make the will of God a very mysterious thing. It's like if God doesn't write something out in the clouds, then you don't know if you're supposed to do it or whatever. And that may make sense to some of you. You're waiting on some sign to find the will of God. And there's probably times whenever I have fleeced the Lord because we need to fleece him for maybe a particular event or a particular purpose, just like they would go to the priests, and there from the breastplate he would stand before the presence of God for particular special circumstances, and that God would answer them by illuminating the breastplate and the letters on each of the stones to give them the answer whether they should go into battle, or like whenever Hannah came and her mouth wouldn't move and Eli said, "You're drunk," and he misread one of the letters because he was a fallen priest and it would have said, "You're pregnant." But finding the will of God should not be that hard. We should all understand from the time we're children in the Lord what the will of God is. And I'm saying to you what I never understood when I was young in the Lord. So, especially Christians, if you're not a pastor, a paid minister, or missionary, it's really easy to become frustrated with feelings of lack of individual importance. And many times that's because you hear us speak on the will of God and finding and working for the Lord and all that thing. But a lot of times what happens is after we're born again, of course, it's so exciting, but this excitement eventually does begin to wear off. And whenever this excitement of the new birth wears off and the new friends in Christ, I know when I first came to the Lord, when I was born again, that I thought everybody that was in the church were angels because I'd just come from living from the devil. And I really found out we're just devils in disguise. Amen. And we're trying to keep our flesh in order because we're all still who we were if we take off the cloak of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so what happens is we've been set free from our bondages. We've been set free from our addictions. And then we find ourselves in this lull. And that's very normal. You need to understand that. When we move out of the diaper stage, so to speak, and I want to comment on that diaper stage again, we need to remember to properly change a diaper, that we don't just take one off and put another one on. No one in this room would do that in their right mind. We take off the dirty diaper, then we wash the child, then we put on a clean one. And that's what God does with us understanding His Word. If we don't wash our minds with the water of the Word, well, we still got a lot of stuff in our mind floating around. So this is where our training, you can never escape the importance of daily bombarding your mind with the Word of God. So we're going to find out that if you are somebody that has really had a problem with feeling and finding purpose, a lot of times as a pastor, our pat answer is, well, you need to pray more. And if you watch Christian TV, some of those ministers, the answer is you need to give more. And you're going to find out, and I'm being very candid with you and everyone that will be listening to this series, that praying more and giving more will not fulfill you. You will become more frustrated because you won't be fulfilled. I'll give an example of that. Whenever Peter was in prison, and we see where they were praying for his release, and of course God had released him, so they're having one heck of a prayer meeting. You know, they've got this big thing going on, and Peter's knocking at the door. And finally, one of them quit praying long enough to see who was knocking at the door, and they saw, here's Peter standing at the door. And guess what she did? She ran back into the prayer meeting and didn't open the door. She said, well, I think it was a ghost. And the point I'm trying to make is that if you're someone that does have a prayer life, if you don't, you're not experiencing this problem. You need a prayer life. But if you're someone that has a prayer life, you need to understand that to be congruent in the walk with God, prayer is not enough. You've got to begin to put action into it also. And so this is where many times, and one of the reasons we're having the meetings we're having today that you got your email on, is if you do not have a place to activate your walk, you can really become frustrated. And then many times, whenever you desire to activate your walk, you aim way, don't take this wrong, I'm not trying to be negative, you aim way too high. And you think, well, I've got to be called into full-time ministry, or a missionary, or this, or that. Folks, I'm going to just say a couple things. Until you're someone that's faithful in the little things, you prove yourself at levels to God. God does not call anyone to do this that hasn't established themselves in this. So aim a little lower and you won't be near as frustrated. Lower your expectations. Life gets a lot easier, so to speak. So what we're going to see is that as book sales and, of course, motivational speakers abound, then you're not the only people, whether in church or not in church, that you're struggling for purpose. And this lesson, I'm telling you, it's going to give you total purpose if you can wrap your mind around it, if I can convey it as it is in the Word. So understanding this priesthood and the employment in God's office of the priesthood, it's a biblical office for all believers. And once you grasp this knowledge of what priesthood is and you understand it, you're going to want to be able to accept the commission of you are a priest. This is where your fulfillment's going to come. You have already been ordained. If you're a born-again believer, you have already been ordained into priesthood. Now your job is to find out biblically, not neo-Christian Americanized thought process, but biblically, what is expected of you and where do you fit? So the acceptance of this calling, I think, also that you will accept the accompanying responsibilities of its role, is really going to complete you as you search for your purpose. And there's nothing wrong if you haven't found your purpose yet. As a matter of fact, there's something very right about that. That means you're someone that cares enough that you're still seeking. So I want to go to the New Testament. I want to quote a scripture that Peter spoke whenever he was speaking to the born-again believers. And of course, we've got to remember, as I say so many times, that I do not believe at all that Peter and Paul had any idea that when they spoke that it was going to be what we call canonized, which wasn't even a word that they invented for Scripture until a couple hundred years later. And so they are just commenting. They're teaching like I'm teaching here out of the only Bible they have, which is the Tanakh. And so he looks at them, and this is important, and you'll see why in a little bit. Because you have heard me harp. That's an angelic word, harping. You have heard me harp on. The New Testament is simply them speaking out of the Old Testament. And so my thrust, even though it may not be popular with the total body of Christ, my thrust is to get you to hunger to know the schoolmaster so that we can rightly divide the word of truth and we get to the new. There's just one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But we've got, like Baskin-Robbins, all these flavors of Christianity, and it had not be so. Okay, so Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he says, "You also as lively stones, you're built up a spiritual house. You are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So what you may or may not understand that he's doing, or what I'm doing, is I'm doing exactly what Peter was doing here 2,000 years ago. He is expressing to these believers now their role and their function in this Messiah, this messianic new birth that they've received into Christ. Because if you will rightly remember, you could not enter into priesthood as far as the Levitical and the Aaronic priesthood went unless you were of the certain bloodline. But now we have an amazing statement. We might not catch the amazement of it unless we had been born then. But the fact is, for him to call Goyim Gentiles and to call people other that are from the thread of the tribe of Levi a priesthood would be unthinkable, unattainable, because you knew you could never be a priest. Now, I need to back up. Because as we think of priests, we think of the lineage of the high priest, which would be Aaron and his four sons and anyone that came out of their loins. There's where we get our fivefold ministry, by the way. Aaron and his four sons. And then if we don't think of that, then maybe we think of the lesser priests that aren't lesser at all. They just hold a different function in priesthood. And we think of the Levitical priesthood. And now we look at the tribe of Levi. So from the loins of Aaron comes the high priest and then all of his progeny. And then from the tribe of Levi become all of the other priests. And of course, it is the Levitical tribe, the tribe of Levi, and the tribe of Judah that are spared, and it is the other 10 tribes then that are dispersed. And so there's a message in that as well. And these were the tribes that took care of the temple of God. And so it's also important, I want you to notice that when we look at this verse, that when Peter's talking to them, he says, "You as lively stones, you are a holy priesthood." And I want you to notice this, that verse speaks of priesthood and does not mention priest. And I think I was going to teach on priests, and I got hung up on priesthood, and I felt illuminated that until we understand priesthood, there's no need to go on to being what a priest does. So there's a significant difference in the meaning whenever we refer to you are a priest or you are in the priesthood. Also in this verse, I want you to notice that Apostle Peter also, he refers to us not only as a holy priesthood, but he's also referring to us as lively stones. Now, what did he mean by calling us living rocks? Well, this is an inference to being spiritual types of the physical temple of God. And in the Old Testament, before the temple was built, we see where they were called living threads, because the tabernacle was made out of cloths and sewn together. It's also indicative of the fact that we understand that whenever John, who was in the lineage of Cohen, the one that laid his head on the breast of Jesus, that John was in the lineage of a priest, and therefore he wrote the Gospel of John, which is probably my favorite gospel, if you can have a favorite. It is written in the language of a priest. And so he starts out in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And he came and he tabernacled amongst us." So he had total understanding of the concept and the plan of God, and also gave him access to the priesthood in the days of Yeshua, that he could walk with those in the lineage of the priest. And he knew what was going on in the priestly workings and political system as well as outside of it. So we recognize that Peter's not only calling us a holy priesthood, but he's also calling us the temple of God. And I want you to notice that he's calling us lively stones, because today in this room collectively, we need to understand that it's when we come together that we make up priesthood. When we come together in our midst is where God's going to dwell. So Jesus, when he's crucified, speaking of lively stones, he is the chief cornerstone. And when you go to Jerusalem, of course, Yeshua was crucified north of the altar, just as all your sacrifices are killed north of the altar. He fulfilled that role of the perfect This is an interesting point I've never shared with you. He fulfilled that role of being the perfect burnt offering, which means a wholly given, nothing returned. When you brought your offering, you know that they cooked it, and this is where barbecue was invented. You got your portion back, the priest got his portion, and then you fellowshiped with God as you drank your wine, ate your bread, and ate your barbecue, except for a whole offering. It's interesting because as we transliterate that word, a total burnt offering that's totally consumed is called a holocaust offering. And the Jews that were put in the fiery furnace, it's the holocaust offering. So what we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22 is he says now, and we're staying on this theme of Peter is speaking to us. Now, you're going to understand why as your rabbi, your teacher, I'm really hammering on some stuff. And I've told you, if you're joining us by a podcast, that you will not understand why these first 40 or 50 lessons out of the hundreds I'll put on there are so diligently taking you back to these five foundations, is because I'm going to tell you again, you can go to seminary, you can study the Bible till you're blue in the face, you can quote scripture backwards and upside down, but you will never get understanding until you understand the blueprint and understand where each scripture fits in those five foundations. So we're going to go to another one on the house of God here, the temple. And he says, and you're built upon the foundation of the apostles, Ephesians chapter 2, and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being called the chief cornerstone. So Jesus, when he was crucified north of the altar, if you go with us to Golgotha, you will see that Golgotha is actually a stone quarry. And so the stones were actually quarried, not all of them, but most of them. They were quarried from north of the altar, and they were cut out of this place called Golgotha and then slid down to the temple area. And there they were used to build the temple. So it only makes sense that the chief cornerstone is quarried in the very place that the stones at the temple are built out of. Does that make sense? All right. So, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, if you've been born again and you've become a believer, 1 Peter 2:5, you also as lively stones are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So, in looking at this verse again, the whole verse reeks of priesthood. Priests serve in the temple. So every verbiage, every jot, every tittle he's using in this one verse gave them, their mind just exploded because they totally understood in that day, not having all the things to fill their mind, the highlight of Israel was the temple services, the temple system. And so he also then closes this one verse of holy priesthood, lively stones, with offer up sacrifices. And of course, this is a term also tied to being a priest, and they totally understood the five different sacrifices, which you will later. And you need to rightly divide the word of truth. So we, being a royal priesthood unto God, should definitely understand the book that very few of us do, which is Leviticus. It is the handbook of the priest. And that's why I so diligently am trying to fulfill my calling in getting people to want to know the whole Word of God. Not to make you Jewish, not to get you legalistic, but to get you to where you can find out if your faith, even though, you know, there might be some people that are deceived in this last hour according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the first sign that he gives before his coming. Many shall come in my name. Many will be deceived. And just because you're taught something by a pastor certainly doesn't make it correct. So all these statements allude to the pattern given by God of his sacrifice, his temple, his priesthood system. And these three systems along with the 613 laws and the feast of the Lord become the five foundations of biblical doctrine. And of course, if you'll listen to our series on the five foundations, you'll catch what those are. We're also remembering as we go forward that Peter and Paul, as we look at some of the things they're going to tell us here, they are not quoting out of a New Testament. They are speaking to us only from the Bible that the first Christians had for 300 years after Christ. So anyone that says, well, we're not an Old Testament church, well, if you want to be a New Testament believer, now this is going to be a little radical, but what I speak to you is truth. If you want to be, if you really want to know what the church was like in the first century, then the only way you can know that is to preach the gospel out of the Old Testament. Because that's what they're doing. They are pulling out portions of the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is the New Testament revealed, the New Testament or concealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament revealed. So, when the Apostle Peter addresses his Jewish listeners, they had what we lack, and that's full knowledge of God's functioning temple, because they were trained on first the schoolmaster. So, whenever we complete this lesson on priesthood, we're going to have an understanding also of the purpose and the duties of us as a priest. Remember, we as Christians today, we're called to be a holy priesthood. Awareness that we are the priesthood of God, it will awake a desire in you to understand the duties and rights and the privileges. An interesting hour that we're living in, until the last few years, there was only a small percentage of believers that would find this type of teaching on Old Testament and biblical offices of priests to be applied to their walk. A lot of people wouldn't, they'd think you were cultish. And as we prophesied here 15 years ago, before the coming of the Lord, that this would be, it was the only place God can take us back to. If you study His Old Testament, you find out He's taking us back to the very thing that Joel prophesied of. I'm not talking about Joel Osteen, I'm talking about Joel in the Bible. And he prophesied that the root of God would be eaten down by the canker worm and the canker worm and the palmer worm, but it would flourish again. Folks, there's nowhere to go in the Holy Ghost experience except weird, unless you go back to the Word of God. Amen. And He gave us the Word of God, He gave us the Holy Spirit not to make us weird, but to lead and guide us in all truth. And the only place you can find all truth is in the Scripture. And I just want to share this. As a priest, you should be you should have outstanding character. You should be someone that's not filling your mind with the garbage of the world. You should be someone that when people see you, that they look at you as someone that has chokmah, wisdom, that someone that they know has knowledge. And I'm not talking about walking around with a 20-pound Bible or trying to put on false holiness. Just be who you are, but who you are should become a priest. Be real. But get to where when you being real is being what you're supposed to be. Still keep your personality. All right. So today, as we see the explosion of knowledge, tens of thousands in America, they're being drawn to the first foundations of Christian faith. Now, they're not going to be the groups you see on TV. You get on the internet, you're going to find out there are tens of thousands of us this morning doing what we're doing. A lot of them are doing it on Saturday now because they've gone back to the original Sabbath. Now, with this return to our roots comes a completion of personal, meaningful purpose. And this is what the church has been lacking. And so we have really kind of made it to where it's about giving and then go pray. But give. You can come to our church if you give. If you don't pray, it's all right. So contentment and satisfaction always increases when the Son of God grows in knowledge. And I think we'd all agree with that. Understanding the schoolmaster of the Old Testament biblical diagrams is going to help us achieve the implementation of these patterns in our daily routine. And actually, when we read Psalms 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways, it is speaking of walking in the things that God has ordered. Now, I think I shared this Wednesday night, but whenever the few places that the Bible says that and he walked with God, that walking is what that is referring to is the lowest, most humble extremity of the body, your feet. And so whenever someone walks with God, it means they're an humble. They have conquered most of the flesh. It's talking about their feet. So the steps of a good man, the only way that steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord is when he is walking halakha. He is walking according to the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to go to another New Testament verse here. But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now I want you to notice that this scripture also mentions priesthood and not a priest. So we're looking at the reference to our function, our role, our duties as New Testament believers, and we have yet to see where we have been called to be an individual priest, but we have been called to priesthood. And before we discuss this role of priest, I want to share real quickly what priesthood means. The office of priesthood, which Christ came and he ordained Christians to hold is the very same office that God called the Old Testament Hebrews to fulfill. So I'm going to just put another little advertisement in here. If you are someone that has not hungered for Old Testament teaching, it's never been done away with. As a matter of fact, you're going to find out there's really no change between old and new. What most of you have been taught about the Old Testament is so incorrect to begin with, you made the same mistake that some of the Jews fell into. You thought it was given for salvation, but you'll never find in the Word of God where they ever thought it was salvation, except for the ones that fell into legalism that Christ had to correct because they fell into the love of the law more than the spirit of the law, because the law is spiritual. It wasn't just the tribe of Levi that was to represent God, but God called all of Israel, to be a peculiar treasure into the kingdom of priests. Now, I'm going to prove this to you just in one line. The way I would identify the high priest is how? Glad I asked. I couldn't identify him when I was grocery shopping. I couldn't identify him whenever I'm down at the local ball game. But when I got to the temple and he had on his robe, I could identify him in his role. I couldn't identify a Levite whenever I was grocery shopping. I couldn't identify a Levite when I was at the ball game by their attire, because their white lineage was left at the temple just as the high priest's lineage outfit was. However, when we see that he called all of Israel to be a priesthood, there was a uniform that went with priesthood. So if you've studied, you know what I'm about to say. So even though I did not have on my high priest garment, even though I did not have on my Levitical white garment, I did have on my tzitzit. And therefore, all of Israel wore the garment of the priesthood. That is what this represents. And on those corners, through those knots and those threads, were the 613 threads. So I am simply giving to you a schoolmaster foundation from the Old Testament to understand that I am not trying to usurp authority that God has set forth in the church under His fivefold ministry, but for you to understand that you are responsible to God. You are responsible to God for your actions. You cannot delay or relay your lack of responsibility and put it on your church or the ministry of your church. You are as accountable to your priesthood as they are to the role and the function that they are in their priesthood. Accountability is what brings purpose. Without accountability, there is no purpose. And this is why Yeshua Jesus said, "Take my yoke, for it's light and it's easy." An ox is just like you and I. It's a powerful thing, but it has absolutely no productivity until it comes under the yoke. It is the yoke that makes the power of the ox productive. And it is the yoke of the Word of God that will make your life productive. This is why when He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit, that power has to be power that is yoked to His Word, the instruction. And this is what brings about fruit, and this is what brings about growth. So we just saw where He called us a holy priesthood, a peculiar people. I want us to look what He was speaking from, because we see where He had no Bible except the Old Testament. Exodus. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed," God speaking to them, "and you will keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. All the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words you shall speak unto the children of Israel." So we can compare these two scriptures. They are the exact same statement. Peter is quoting once again from what we think has been done away with, and he is telling them, "Hey, that Old Testament that the neo-American Christians are going to do away with, I'm giving you the same commission that God gave to us when He brought us out of Egyptian bondage. I'm calling you to be a holy nation, you to be a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, you to be a peculiar people. All of you are called to the office of priesthood." So this is exactly what Peter's instructing in the New Testament and for believers to understand. So God's called you to become a kingdom priest. So why does God need a New Testament priesthood on the earth today? We have a great working high priest, and we understand that with this new covenant of believers. And we find out that our great high priest is Yeshua Jesus. In Hebrews 2:16, verses 16 and 17, it says, speaking of Christ, he took not on in the nature of angels, but he took on in the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brother, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, I am sharing these scriptures with you because you need to realize that I can go to many scriptures as you can where Christ is become and now operates today, right this moment, in the office of a high priest. So you also need to understand that if we would walk through the scripture, that Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. And therefore, we understand that the office that Christ would hold for us after that crucifixion, which was high priest, makes the walking of priesthood and you being a priest the eternal plan of God. It was foreordained before you were created. So one of my problems in life, 95% of my life for the last many, many years, is I am too content. And that's scary because a lot of times you don't have to have more friends, you don't have to have more this, you don't have to have more that. I'm just too content. I am so fulfilled. I'm not searching for anything. What I have to try to do is fulfill my calling. See, godliness with contentment is great gain. And a lot of people lack contentment. If you lack contentment, then I am wagering as a Christian, then this message will do one of two things to you. It will either push you further from God because you will refuse the cloak of accountability, or it will fulfill you because you will be drawn to and understand your purpose. And then you will be like the many that have gone before you, that we are content unto death with the calling we've been called into, and the world has grown strangely dim. And it's not about, as a priest, I was hoping to get through this whole lesson, I'm not going to make it, am I? As a priest is not called to serve man. Yeah, how many knew that? See, in our little do-goody Christian, do-goody world, we make do-goodies, you know, like we're really doing something. That's never what you were called to do. I mean, we need to do that. But you're called to serve God. You're called to please God. You're called to minister before the Lord. And that's what brings fulfillment. And that's what illuminates you and makes you the light of the world as God operates through you. Good works are awesome, but about every religion's into good works. But good works by themselves will not do anything for you. You're called to be a minister unto God. So, I want us to catch the priesthood is a principle and it's an enduring doctrine of God's word and plan from the very beginning until time be no more. It's thrilling to be called, chosen, and faithful. In recent times past, we Christians, we didn't hunger or have an aptitude for this type of biblical instruction, as I've mentioned. But you're going to find out that there's something going on in the spirit realm today. And you're going to find many friends you have that are in Christianity begin to fall away or to be drawn to. Because there is a great shaking, and I'm speaking this through my opinion, there is a great shaking in the spirit realm right now. Everything that can be shaken shall be shaken, and you're going to see people, some of your friends you need to reach with this type of teaching because they are tired of going back to kindergarten church every Sunday and they can find no reality in it. We're having quilting bees and trips to here and oh, we'll drill a well in Haiti. And we keep us so busy, but never fulfilled. Never understanding our role of how to minister before God. And let me just tell you something. I was busy when I was in the world. It did not fulfill me. Hebrews 3 and 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, we've been called to be a heavenly priesthood, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now the things which... Hebrews 8 and 1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who set on high the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. So we see where It is God's plan for redeemed man to become priests of God, with the high priest being none other than Jesus Christ. So just as they had the office of high priest, now we're the priests, and he is the great high priest. So whenever we see that Israel was called to be a kingdom of priests after they had been delivered and they begin to walk in obedience, it's an exact picture of what we as Christians are called to do today. Once we've been delivered from our bondages and we've become believers and we walk in obedience, now you've been called to that royal priesthood. So Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 says, "The thing that has been is that which shall be. That which is done is that which will be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." 1 Corinthians 15 and 46. What I'm sharing now is that the pattern that all of us need to understand is there is no new thing. That which has been shall be. And so what we're seeing is God could have chosen a million other arrays of pictures to put into the scripture, but he chose these specific stories because these are snapshots that we could indelibly imprint on our mind. And if I want to know what's going to happen in the future, then I go back to the past. There is no new thing. And so we are looking at now, and I won't belabor the point as I could, where everything I've learned in my schoolmaster, I now know what the future is going to hold. If I was called in a royal priesthood and a peculiar people in the old, it is a first the natural and then the spiritual. I'm called to be a spiritual priesthood in the new. The first Adam, the second Adam. Everything is natural first, then spiritual, no new thing under the sun. So as we study the origin of the office and the original office of priesthood, which is the natural, it's going to unveil to us spiritual truths and the purpose in our Christian role. This is going to answer the question, why does God need a functioning New Testament priesthood in the earth today? Well, we're about to learn that reason, and this is the foreword of this lesson. We're about to enter into lesson one. And just real quickly, what we're going to find out, the word priesthood is used 16 times in the scripture. Kehuna is the word for priesthood. The definition of the word priesthood, it's interesting, it's the same whether in Greek or in Hebrew. And the definition for priesthood, which is in the Strong's number 3550 in the Hebrew and number 2406 in the Greek, and the definition, when God's word just told you you're called to be a royal priesthood, means the office of a priest. Well, yeah, I knew that. No, you didn't. Because there's a huge difference between you being a priest and you being called to the office of the priest. A priesthood does not designate a man. The Bible obviously is not in error. So when you've been called to be a holy priesthood, you've been called to a God-appointed office. Now, an office is for many. Priest is the word for man or an individual. So when I've been called to the priesthood, I now understand that I've been called to an office that God has orchestrated in the earth. And it's just like if I were now employed by the government. A portion of our government at this lesson has just reopened. It has been closed. And many of us did not even notice it was closed because the office of government is so large. And it has so many positions to fulfill the office. And without all of these multitudes of positions, the function of the office of government will not work. And so what we're needing to understand is, so is it with God's calling a priesthood and calling you to be a royal priesthood today. That is not making us doing the same function. It is not allowing us to do the same job. It would be ludicrous for God to call all of us to do one job, and therefore the function of the office of priesthood would never be fulfilled. If we were supporting all of these government officials to all do one thing, it would be terrible to us to support the hundreds of thousands of government officials that function in the office of government all to be president. Nothing would get done. Because we wouldn't have an army, we wouldn't have a navy, we wouldn't have tax collectors, we wouldn't have social workers. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the office of priesthood. Romans 12 and 5 explains this. So we being many, we are one body in Christ. Everyone members one of another. If my body was just made of the mouth today, and didn't have a stomach, didn't have legs to walk, and this is what we're seeing. And so where our purpose is fulfilled is whenever we totally understand the thought process and the responsibility of, hey, if I don't fulfill my, and that's why we're having this meeting this afternoon, that I'm anyone that was going to, hopefully going to come to a step closer to the taking on the robe of a priest will be at, that if the toes don't do its job, they're used for balance. If we all aren't doing our job, we can't go anywhere. And so until people, you will never find a congregation that grows large where people do not understand the importance of each of their small role. Now, I'm going to have to stop. We're out of time. So I just want to close with this. What we were about to look at is we're about to look at that God calls and has Moses number the priest. He calls the sons of Aaron, then he calls the sons of Kohath, and he sets forth and he calls thousands. Thousands. I don't have time to get into the scripture because we're closing. Thousands of them. And they've got these unbelievable jobs, like one group of them, their job was to walk up and put the covering on the ark. Another job was to take care of the cords. And the point I'm trying to make is none of us did a lot, but collectively we got the function and the office of the priesthood done. And then David further breaks priesthood down into 24 courses with these thousands upon thousands upon thousands of priests. And these priests, when they were broken down to the 24 courses, they each served 1 week. 1 week! When the course is finished at the end of 24 weeks, obviously they started over, which covers 48 weeks. And then they all served during the feasts of the Lord because of the crowds that would be at the temple, fulfilling their yearly role. So what did they do with the other 10.5 months of their life? So I'm trying to point this out. The temple could not operate according to God's plan unless everybody had a portion they did. Amen. Trying to get people to plug into their portion isn't easy because they see that as a menial task. They would be called to do something great, but many times plugging into just their portion. And so, no, obviously your job isn't done whenever you left serving your week, because now you went back to your city. You went back to your town. You had function there, and we don't have time to get into it. So our hope is that this understanding on priesthood, which will lead us into understanding the role of a priest, will allow each of us to recognize, someone said it so well to me when I was receiving my license as a minister after having gone through my training. They looked at me and they said, "Do not ever stoop to be the president of the United States when you're a priest of God." This is the highest calling in the world. And for us to not accept it with excellence and not to understand who we really are. Folks, you take us out of the world. You take us out of America right now. What do you think is going to happen to this place? And what the darkness and the powers of darkness that are at work don't understand is the darker it gets, the brighter we become. You're in your hour. And so to be equipped right now to understand, God knows you've got families. God knows you've got jobs. God knew that before He ever created you. God knows you've got bills. God knows you've got worries. God knows you've got bodies that are getting older, that'll get sick, that'll get tired. Priests were 30 to age 50. God understands probably more than we understand. And yet, whenever He sets up the office of priesthood, He doesn't set it up for anyone to work themselves to death. Take His yoke. It's light and it's easy. But it is to give total purpose and meaning and direction as we walk for Him that He can bless us, because we are walking according to the calling of God. And even though we may be plumbers, we may be dentists, we may be this, we may be that, what we really are first and foremost is we are a priest of the Most High God. And as we move through this to understand what our calling is, you see, what our truthfully our responsibility that responsibility will either cause you to leave altogether, talking about serving God, or it will cause you to be so grateful to find dysfunction in your life, and all of a sudden you'll walk with more meaning than you ever have, and that brings confidence and that brings contentment. Hope something said here in this lesson will spur you further.